Searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Okay, when we talk about Christianity, I want you to look at these few definitions that I have. First of all, Christianity, the worship of God through Jesus Christ only. When we talk about Christianity, it's the worship of God through Jesus Christ only. If we're going to properly serve God according to Scripture, we need or have to go through Jesus Christ. We don't need to have two or more masters. Okay? We have to love the Lord our God, not gods. Joshua said, young people, choose this day whom you will serve. Okay? Either the gods, he said, on the other side of the river, which equate to the gods in this world, or Jehovah, the true and living God. As a young person, you and I have to understand if we're going to serve God, we need to serve him through Christ alone. Somebody say alone. That's right. Monotheistic. That means we serve how many gods? One. That's what mono means. We're not dual or tritheistic. We are mono. Notice my scripture reference, John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. What else? The truth and the. Then he finishes the verse. No one comes to the Father or God except through me. Jesus is later recorded, I believe, in the book of Revelations where he says, I am the door. Okay, so if we want to get to God, we need to go through the door, which is Christ Jesus. Secondly, when we talk about Christianity, notice it is the belief and practicing of Holy Scripture. So if I am a true Christian or Christ-like, I'm going to be like the Word, because that's who Jesus is, the Word, according to John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if I am a Christian according to the Bible, then I believe and I practice the Word. That's what it means to be a Christian. How many understand by a show of hands? All right. Okay, I've seen some hands not up. Let me check again. How many understand by a show of hands? Okay. Let's look at a couple of foundations of Christianity. This is what we should stand on if we are true Christians. Number one, Christianity is built on repentance. A person becomes a Christian by turning from sin. Okay? I am not a Christian if I practice sin. I may fall short of the glory of God, make mistakes, but a Christian does not practice sin. Okay, I repent. I turn from practicing, and now I'm practicing righteousness. Somebody say repentance. All right. In the book of Acts 2, when people needed to be saved or born again, they asked Peter, what must we do? And he said, repent or turn. So the foundation of Christianity means I must change my life. Allow God to change me, to go from an old man to a new man. Secondly, acceptance. I need to accept that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord. That means I'm going to do what he tell me to do. If he don't want me to worship other gods, you Lord, that's what I'm going to do. When we bring him his money, his tithe and offering, you Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Savior, he delivers. So I need to accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior. There are other gods in the land, but who is the Lord of Lords? Jesus. Who is the King of Kings? Jesus. Yeah. There are other gods you can choose to worship, but they are not the true and living God. Titus 1 and 4. Paul says to Titus, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. And notice he calls God and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So when we talk about God, we're talking about Jesus, who is Lord and Savior. How many have accepted him as Lord and Savior? By a show of hands, you have. All right. If you haven't, you can. Because whosoever call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Thirdly, a Christian needs power. So repentance, acceptance, empowerment. I need to allow Jesus to fill me with the Holy Spirit so I can have some power to stay saved. Because it's not once saved, always saved. When you get saved, you got to have some power to remain a witness or a Christian. Acts 1 and 8 talks about how he will give us some power. And I believe every young person needs to be saved and spirit-filled. Being saved is not enough. We need to be spirit-filled. And so we ask him to fill us, and he'll come in and dwell on the inside and speak in another tongue, and we'll know that he's in there. And he'll guide us into all truth. What are the first three foundations that I call of Christianity? First one is, okay. Second one, acceptance. Thirdly, empowerment. And finally, a true Christian has to deny self. Self-denial. There are going to be things that my flesh wants to do, desires to do, and I have to deny myself. Because sometimes doing what's wrong is pleasing, pleasurable. But as a Christian, I have to deny myself. And on a college level or life after high school, you are going to come in contact with a lot of things that's going to make you feel good that a Christian should not do. You have to deny self. I was recently talking to a graduate, and they were telling me how after they graduated from high school, they failed to deny fleshly desires, and they found themselves hooked on prescription drugs, hooked on lean, drinking cough syrup, codeine, Sprite, just hooked on it after high school. And was enjoying it, but knowing it was wrong. And so once they repented and started doing what's right, I asked the teenager, was it worth it? And they said, no, it ain't built up to be everything they say. They put it out there like it's all of that, but I done experienced it, and I wouldn't wish this on nobody. So young people, what does that teach you? There are going to be things out there that you may want to do, but if you true Christian, you and I have to deny ourselves. I don't need to do that. But I feel like I want to do it. Well, that ain't the devil. That's just you. Just deny yourself. And the topic we're talking about today, fraternities and sororities, you're going to see it. It's going to look, it's going to look pleasing to some of them. But you have to deny yourself. Notice Luke 9:23. Then he said to all, or them all, talking about his disciples, people that were already following him. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny, help me out, who? Not the devil, but who? Take up his cross how often? And what? Follow me. Cross has to do with a symbol of suffering, death. I have to suffer sometime. Go without. I have to cause my desires to die. But the cross also has to do with victory. I have to deny myself. How many understand by a show of hands? Now today, as I stated earlier, we're going to talk about fraternities and sororities. In particular, you're going to hear a term, GLOWS or BGLOWS, Black Greek Letter Organizations. That's what that stands for, Black Greek Letter Organizations. Okay? Now, there are a number of Greek organizations when you get into college, and some charter high schools and private schools, and for that matter, some high schools. You have, like, academic fraternities and sororities where the just is just simply on highlighting academic or business affairs. There's no mixing of Greek lifestyle or majestic or mythical lifestyle. It's just simply about business or a foreign language or grades or academia. But particularly on college campuses, you have Greek life. If you go to West Georgia, they actually have dormitories set aside just for students that are a part of Greek life. When it comes to people of color, in particular black folk, they got their own Greek letter organization. And that's where we come up with the term Black Greek Letter Organizations. Y'all with me? Now, there are a number, but there are primarily 9 Greek organizations. They call them the Divine Nine. They call them the Divine Nine. Okay? And they're pushed on people of color from a young age. They push these on us, especially in a number of people's lives where family members are educators. Education, you know, they went to college and they went to maybe grad school. They push it. All right. And here's a picture you see of some children that they actually have dressed up representing the Divine Nine. Okay, let me go back and just deal with these. You have Kappa Alpha Psi. Okay. You have Alpha Phi Alpha. You have Delta Sigma Theta. Second line. Okay. AKA Alpha Kappa Alpha. Now this next one, I was like, what is that? Iota Phi Beta. Mm-hmm. Then you have this popular Q-Dogs, as they call them, Omega Psi Phi. Then you have the Betas, Sigma Beta Gamma, Sigma Gamma, okay. Then you have the next one. Okay, and then you had the last one, the Zetas, Zeta Phi Beta. These what they call the what? Divine. Now, how many are familiar with some of these, if not all of them? Okay. Now, what I did not know is that the Divine Nine are actually, in my study, I found out that they are based upon 9 false gods. And they actually have some that were Egyptian. There were the 9 divine gods in Egyptology. Then you have some that they had nine councils of gods that were in Asia. Then they have just different divine. But bottom line, they were divine deities or gods and goddesses. Here you have a picture that it was based on the Ennead. They were nine Osirian gods, Osiris or Osirian gods. These were Egyptian gods and goddesses that were worshipped and believed to possess power. So we ain't even got into some of the meanings, but when you talk about divine, you're talking about that which pertains to God. But because Jesus is the true and living God, we would be right to say that these divine nine have to do with false gods. So when you're talking about Greek mythology, when it comes to black Greek letter organizations, you're talking about already demonic gods. Based upon my study, I found out that black Greek letter organizations are rooted in Egyptian deity and mythology. Okay? Zeus, Perseus, all these different gods and goddesses. But notice what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 4:7. But we should reject profane and old wise fables or myths and exercise yourselves toward godliness. So when it comes to people talking about being a part of something that has to do with any type of myth, as a true Christian, we should reject it and not embrace it. But they make it look so good. 2 Timothy 4:4. And they will turn, notice, they will turn, he's talking about people that are saved. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or myths. You actually have people, and it's happening in our day and time. You can give them the truth, and they come up in the truth, but then they start hearing myths or fables, and they'll leave the truth and go to the lie. You have kids that are raised in truth, but then get on a college campus and turn away from the truth and start worshiping a Greek god, a false god, a demon god. They call it Greek, but if it's any other god besides Jesus, biblically, we're correct to say that's a demon. Right? Am I right? Let's look at some terms and biblical references. Y'all with me? All right. So let's start with the most basic, fraternity and sorority. What does fraternity and sorority mean? Fraternity comes from a Latin word, frat or frater, and sorority comes from a Latin term, soro. Frat meaning brother, soro or sorority meaning sister. So the word fraternity or frat means brother. Soro, that's my soro. That's what they'll say. That's my frat brother. That's my soro or my sister. Mm-hmm. But they say soro. But notice what Jesus said who his brother and sister really is according to the Bible. Mark 3:35, Jesus said, whoever does the will of God, y'all help me out, is my brother and my Lord. Have mercy. So in their organization, if you have done their rituals, vowed to their Greek god or goddesses, then you are considered their brother or sister. Biblically, you my brother and sister if you just do the will of God. So we have to ask ourselves, which one are we going to be a part of? Are we going to be with God or against? Because you can't be with your Greek organization and call them brother and sister, and with someone that's doing the will of God and call them your brother or sister. It don't mix. What fellowship, the Bible teaches, does light have with darkness? Okay? Let's look at another term. When we're talking about sororities and fraternities, another term is recruit. A recruit. These fraternities and sororities will attempt to recruit you. Some recruit based upon your character. Some recruit based upon just how you look. You look like you be a such and such. Recruit to strongly persuade a person to perform a certain what? Task or to do a certain thing. They're going to recruit hard. And it starts early. But notice what Timothy says. He doesn't use the word recruit, but notice 1 Timothy 4:6, nor give heed, so don't listen to fables or, as we determine, myths and endless genealogies. Don't even listen to it. Which cause disputes rather than godly, help me out, edification. Verse 6, from which some have strayed. So if I allow somebody to recruit me to get in a Greek organization, according to this verse, I done what? I done strayed and have turned aside the idleness or idle talk. So when they come your way, you got to be strong and not give heed to that. You know, we found it on Bible. You know, we do community service. You know, Martin Luther the King, he was such and such. You know, Steve Harvey, he's such and such. They'll put all this in you to try to recruit you. We take the best of the best. Send you a little letter, because you can't get in unless you get a letter. They'll try to recruit. But according to this verse, young people, we don't give heed to that. Appreciate it, but no thank you. I'm good. If you're true Christian. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul says, let no one deceive you by any means. Let no one. You ain't going to trick me. You trying to get me into some idol worship. Nah, I'm straight. How in the world y'all going to be biblical and be partying? And drinking? How in the world that go? You messing with the wrong one. You can make a difference in your community. I'm already doing that. I'm being productive in every aspect of my life, and I'm helping others to do so. Popular recruitment methods. Y'all ready? Okay. They come to your high school and middle school. We have some members of this fraternity and sorority, and they'll come in with their jackets. Got their big Greek letters on. Have they ever been to y'all school before? Man, they do it. They have recruitment or mentoring, and they'll try to come, and that ain't nothing but putting a seed in your mind to further bring forth some fruit later on in your life. Secondly, movies and TV glamorization. You know, they got popular movies out, about Greek letter organizations. And they be real messy. They be real messy, but it's to popularize that type of lifestyle. Back when I was coming up, it was two particular movies that popularized Greek life. It was one called Animal House, and that was about basically going to school and partying at the frat house. And then one that was more or less for black folk, it was called School Days. By Spike Lee, and it was just real popular. And now you got so many different movies and TV shows that glamorize Greek life, but you got to see through the lies, young people. Okay? Then you have popular celebrities, and this would be getting me. You be having them say that they Christian, but they push more about their Greek organization more so than they do Scripture. They got a radio station in Atlanta, and the guy that be on there every day, he be pushing his Greek organization often, then have the nerve to say, when people ask, should Christians do it? He responded, and I heard, well, I do it, but, you know, you just have to pray and ask God if you should do it. Come on now. The Bible is just clear. We cannot have two masters. So you got popular celebrities, and they'll tell you things that'll make you feel like you can't be successful without them. You know, you're going to have you a job if you get in this. And you're going to be such and such if you that. All right? They recruit when you go to school the first few weeks of fall semester. It's on. The first few weeks of fall semester, that's when the recruitment starts happening. When you get on a college campus, the first few parties that are thrown, guess who it's usually hosted by? The Greeks. The Greeks on the campus. It's a such and such party over here. It's a such and such party this night on Thursday. It's a such and such party, and all that is recruitment. And if they can't get you to be a part of it, sometimes some organizations will make you feel so small. And then some organizations, especially what I've seen when it comes to young women, they'll use you up. You may not have joined the sister sorority of that fraternity, but I have actually seen frat members just sexually run through, or one particular girl just sleep with all them frats, and they'll call her like the little baby sister. Really, she just the baby whore, but it'd be sad. And they walk in campus like they got a badge of honor, and you'd be like, that is just not something to be proud of. But again, college life. And then they'll recruit saying community involvement. Community involvement, okay? Third term you need to be familiarize yourself with is you'll hear the term pledge. You gonna pledge? You gonna come over or cross over to the mighty lands of such and such? Will you pledge? Now just look at the word pledge: to promise or to vow, to perform. And in scripture, when a person vows, it's often to worship or they swear that they're going to do something. Okay? To promise, to vow, to perform, to worship, or to swear. Pledging is a ritual that happens over several days and weeks. And notice, these are some of the things that pledging involves. And depending on who you talk to, most people that have crossed over a pledge, they're not going to tell you everything. It's a secret. I've actually read certain rituals that take place that are not known by everybody, but you just have to be careful when you're pledging. And so for over the next several days and weeks, I've read in some places it's up to 6 weeks you go through a whole bunch of rituals to see if you're worthy to be a part of that organization. But these are some of the things that take place when you hear the term pledge. Y'all still with me? All right. So for several weeks, you have to indoctrinate yourself or learn information about the founding members and its history. Oh, you got to know it. In 1906 and 1977, such and such, she was a teacher, and she was such and such came to her, and she wanted to, you got to know all that. You got to know all of it. Founding members, chapter members, history, all of that stuff. If you don't know it, certain things can happen to you. You get humiliated, beat, and so forth. You got to know this stuff. Secondly, during the pledge process, it's partying. I mean, straight party. And this is what's amazing. Everybody that may be at the party, but as a pledgee, you may have to just stand there and watch. Or allow folk to do certain things to you. such as sex. And that can include heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual acts. And this is based upon my study, that things go down during that pledge week. I have known certain organizations when I was in school known to be having orgies. Why are they on campus? An orgy is basically where you got a room or at a party and everybody there is having sex with one another. And somebody might be like, yeah, no. That's just something a Christian should not be a part of. But these are things that go on college life. And in some Greek organizations, all you got to do is do research and you can find out that some things have made it to court. Secondly, public humiliation. Okay? They have some organizations that have been on probation or suspension to where they can't perform any rituals on the campus. But I have read reports to where organizations have underground pledging, to where they may not be doing things on the surface, but late night or early in the morning, is things going on that the common person don't know about. And they call it, from what I read, underground pledging. Things to where people have to be blindfolded. All of this humiliation just to be called a brother or a sister. One that's popular, hazing. Hazing is where a person has received mental, physical, spiritual abuse. And some hazing has resulted in death, to where a person has been beaten so badly that they die. They've been beaten. I think recently it was a case where some students down at a school in Florida, the boy was just slapped, beaten until he died. Then many of you have seen to where some Greek organizations in the white fraternity, they would have parties. And when we're talking about public humiliation, they would all dress up and make fun of different races. I mean, just foolishness that a Christian shouldn't even be a part of. You can't just say, well, I'm going to get into it because of the community service. No, look at what goes with it. Jesus said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, little pieces mess up the whole thing, because all this stuff comes with it. And finally, when you talk about pledging, listen, chanting, you got to chant, pray, and confessing words to different idols in secret rituals. Many Greek letter organizations, or shall I say some, they have altars in secret rooms, kneeling cushions that you have to kneel down and pray to. And it's not to Jesus. It's who we finna find out to that Greek god or goddess that their organization was founded upon. And you have to solemnly pray or dedicate your heart to that Greek god. And I got some quotes I'm going to show you in a few minutes. They have rituals that you go through. They have a ceremony. And you have to say certain things, chant certain things, pledge your heart, your life, and your character or your conduct to that organization. And I heard one testimony from one person say, even in the ceremony, they no longer, at the end, you will no longer be known by your name. They give you a nickname. They give you a nickname, you know. You will no longer be Jerome from this day. You will be Slim Dog Yellow. You know, it's just, They give you a name, and that's what you know. You go by that name amongst your brothers and your sisters. Y'all laughing, but it's serious. And it's somewhat the same thing you see, the conversion that you see in Scripture, that we go from sinner to saint. But here you going from who God made you to be to an idol worship. Yeah, they have praying cushions, altars, secret rooms, things you got to confess and declare, and then sign your name on it. And then when it's all said and done, you got to pay dues. You got to bring money every so often. And if you don't bring that money to that organization, you ain't official. In my opinion, when you consider what I'm saying, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. So let's look at it according to Scripture, okay? Y'all still with me? And I'm not trying to talk about nobody. I know some of y'all may have family members that may be a part of stuff like this and may not agree, but I'm giving you Bible. You know, everyone has a choice. And I'd rather you have the knowledge, and it's going to be your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. But I'm going to give you Scripture, because this ain't about Baker. All right? I don't want my soul tied up with nobody except for my God. Okay? So what is idolatry? Notice, and then we're going to get a little bit more graphic. Are y'all learning? All right. Idolatry is the worship of something, someone, an image, or any other or another God besides the true and living God. Is that clear? So if I put my PlayStation before God, that PlayStation is my God. If I put that Xbox before my God, what's my God? The Xbox. Well, if you put a Greek organization before Jesus, then guess what's your God? That's it. If your girlfriend gets more out of you than your God, then guess who's God to you? Girlfriend. So is anything, someone, or an image other than the true and living God that is worshipped, adored, and so forth? Okay? 1 John 5:21 is clear. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Okay? So we've got to keep ourselves from them. Leviticus 26:1. You shall not make idols for yourself. Neither a carved image. Okay? Which we're going to see that many of these have their own images. They got their own paraphernalia. They done carved out. Some of them have them in their frat houses that they, as I stated earlier, they kneel down to, and even in one sorority handbook, I've seen that they have got to bow down in the ceremony to the sorority image. You have to bow down to it, a sign of homage or worship. A carved image, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. It's so plain. But these things are happening in a number of Greek letter organizations based upon my study. Okay? Let's look at some things that I have found out that if you would like to further explore, you can. But the knowledge is there. And I'm giving you Bible to back up what I'm saying. Y'all with me? Okay, let's look at one particular fraternity first. Alpha Phi Alpha. Okay? Based upon my studies, they call, or some of them call themselves, Sons of Osiris. When you become a brother, you're a brethren or a son of Osiris. Well, who was Osiris? And here we have a depiction of him, but he was the first Egyptian god. He was believed to be the first Egyptian god, and that's why they say the Alphas are the first or the oldest black Greek letter organization, because it's based upon Osiris. But notice who he was the god of underworld, death and afterlife. And here you see one of their emblems. You see the Egyptian, I believe it's called the Sphinx. And then you see on some of their advertising where it has their founding fathers, the pictures underneath. You see it also has Egyptian pictures and so forth. Okay? And here we have what you see on many Egyptian choreography. You see what is said to be a picture of Osiris, the god of death, the god of afterlife, and the god of the underworld. And remember, who you follow, you take on that spirit. So I'm following Bishop Walker, so I'm taking on the spirit of productivity, because that's his purpose, to cause people to be what? Productive in every aspect of life. So I take on that spirit if I'm following him. Well, if you follow this based upon my study, bottom line, you're going to take on that same spirit. And that's whoever you follow. You're going to take on that spirit. Let's look at another. Omega Psi Phi. This is said to be based upon Anubis, the false god of embalming, and again, the dead. And we relate them, and they call themselves Q-dogs. Well, where that dog come from? Jackals, which is in the dog family, were often seen in cemeteries. The ancient Egyptians believed that Anubis watched over the dead. So the dog is actually in conjunction with a Greek false god, Anubis. That's attached to death. Jeez. How many knew that? Delta Sigma Theta. The deltas. Now, this is their official seal, their logo. And notice a woman at the top. According to their own documentation, that is the Roman goddess of wisdom, Minerva. They even got an image of her on their own logo. Right there. Now, this is something that was taken from the Delta Sigma Theta's Grand Chapter Candidate Syllabus from 1990. It says on page 130, our founders, and this is a quote, our founders were well aware of the need to transfuse or put together the ideals of Greek moral virtues with the latter concepts of brotherhood and love. So what is that saying? Based upon that quote is saying that Greek ideals were purposely put in place to become a part of their members' lifestyle, to show brotherhood and love. That's a powerful statement. They did it on purpose. Not Christian ideals, but Greek. If you study the Greek lifestyle, Greeks was off the chain. Greeks is where many say pornography started. Of course, they'll attribute them to medicines and other things, but that's a powerful statement to say that the founders, if that be true, that the founders were well aware of the need to transfuse ideals of Greek moral virtues. Like, it would be proper to say Pastor Baker is well aware that he is transfusing Christian morals into the lives of young people. I'm purposely trying to use the what? The word. To get into your heart. But this is saying they purposely wanted to use some Greek ideals. Here's another quote from the Grand Chapter Membership Intake Program in 1987 on page 106. Notice this question. Y'all still listening? All right. What is the ultimate goal? And then the pledge is to answer wisdom. The college-educated woman seeks to become wise rather than smart. That is why Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, is our sorority mentor. So they're basically telling you that a demon god is who they get inspiration from. Is that not what they say? Man, I got a quiet audience, but it's all right. Kappa Alpha Psi. The god of wisdom and writing. Thought. It looked like thought, but. But look in this picture. You have some members, and they have an image made out. Notice that they have made out, and we read earlier where we shouldn't even make those types of images and worship them. But here you see this particular chapter, they're doing so. I'm telling y'all, when you're being recruited, they ain't going to tell you everything that go on because it's a secret. And you don't know certain things until you get in there. And the teaching like this is needed so you know up front what the deal is. Because, see, God don't do things in the dark. Matter of fact, the Bible calls him the light. And their goddess is Matat, the Egyptian goddess of truth. Lord, now this is what got me. Without even researching who Matat is, and what power this demon god is supposed to have. Just look at their logo. And on the logo, you see. I mean, on the logo, right here. Y'all see right here. On their logo, you got a skull and bones. This is on their official logo. Skull and bones is symbolic of death. Go on and pledge to death if you want to. I ain't. Nobody. Alpha Kappa Alpha, the pretty girls. And what they say? That don't even look healthy. That looks spooky. Got me blindfolded, mask on. That just looked cultish. That's my opinion. But look on their crest. Look on their emblem. I mean, this is without even seeing what they about on their logo. Look. Right there. Y'all see that right there? The little man holding the world up. Thank you, baby. That is the Greek Titan Atlas. You know, another Greek god. A Greek god. Letting you know where that inspiration coming from. Not the Lord, but a Greek god. I want you to notice something I found in a ritual book that was said to be from the AKAs. Notice this. This is what one of the things they have to pledge. And y'all listen to the words. And pledge, again, is a vow, a promise, or you swear to do. To thee, O Alpha Kappa Alpha. Now, Lord, you know I'm just reading this. They pledge. Let me go on and change that around. It says we, but I'm going to say they. Their hearts, Lord, and their minds and strength to foster your teachings. Obey your laws, oh God, and make thee supreme in service to all mankind. That's a pledge out this world. That ain't got nothing to do with giving your life to Jesus. You basically giving your life to that organization. Now, the Bible says we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. But here in your pledge, it says that they pledge their heart, mind, and strength to thee, O Kappa Alpha Kappa. Now, is God going to hear that? Now, you said you pledge, you give your life to me. But now you're saying you pledge your life to them. What's it going to be? Lord, that's so detailed. Foster your teachers. That means whatever y'all teach us to do, we're going to do it. Whatever your constitution and your bylaws say, guess what? Ain't we supposed to be doing that to God's word? And this is the one that tripped me out. And to make you supreme? No, I got to go. Now, I don't have enough time because it's just too much information. I didn't want an information overload, but y'all pretty much see where this is going, right? I think I dealt with 7 of the 9. I ain't even deal with the other two, but it's just more of the same thing. Each one has a Greek god that they draw information from or inspiration from. Then you pledge yourself to that organization. Come on now. Based upon that, does that go with Christianity? That don't mix. It's got to be one. There's no way you can be true to Jesus alone and pledge your heart to a Greek god or a Greek organization that gets inspiration from a Greek god. There's no way. Notice my last verse. I want to encourage y'all, do not embrace their gods. 1 Kings 9:9 in part says, and have embraced their gods and worshiped them and served them. That's what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't go off to school or commute to school and start seeing and learning about other gods and embrace them and serve them and worship them. Don't embrace that. We already seen one wants your heart, your mind, and your strength. I'm tired, but I got to go to this pledge thing. They have what we would call conferences throughout the year. And if you're going to be an official member, you got to go. It could be all the way across the country. But if you're a member, guess what? You got to go. Because you done pledged your heart, mind, and strength. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with, okay, that's your choice. It's your choice. And see, many young people didn't have this information going in, but you do. Okay? And so I'm going to stop right there with Christianity, fraternities, and sororities. Amen? Let's give God a hand clap right there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.JeromeABaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.